Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, going to be sunny but still cool, high only around 50. Right now it's a lot cooler than that. Kenosha, 32 degrees. It's freezing. In Burlington, 37. Milwaukee, 36. 34 in Racine. Just after 5 p.m. Sunday, a man in his 20s shot at least once, found on the porch to a home at 615 North Memorial Drive in Racine. Fire department paramedics worked to try to save him at that location and all the way into the emergency room at Ascension All Saints, but he died. Moments after that, police were seeking a white car last observed heading north on Memorial. From that point, witness information varied, but each bit of it needing to be checked out. Anyone who might have information to help solve this homicide urged to directly contact the Racine Police Detective Unit at 262-635-7756 or anonymously go through Crime Stoppers of Racine County by telephone at 262-636-9330 or by text to RACS and 274637. Kenosha police investigating a reported armed robbery just before 3:30 this morning. That was around 59th Street and 14th Avenue. The initial reports indicate the victim was robbed of money, jewelry, and keys, the offender using a 9mm handgun. A maroon-colored car was reportedly being sought. Information was sent out to other law enforcement agencies about that vehicle in the Kenosha area, also into Racine County, as well as Lake County, Illinois. The Milwaukee County Medical Examiner's Office called out Sunday night to northbound I-94-41 in Oak Creek near the Racine-Milwaukee County line. It was initially reported as a semi versus a pedestrian. This is about 9:40 p.m. All the northbound lanes were blocked, according to the State Patrol and Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office. As a result, the traffic was diverted to go north on Wisconsin 241 to Ryan Road and east on Ryan Road and back to 41. That stretch of the interstate was finally reopened at 4:15 this morning. FEMA's Emergency Management Institute is in Emmitsburg, Maryland, and this week it is hosting 71 members of a Racine County contingent for a comprehensive training session on natural or man-made disasters. This is 19 years after a 77-member group did the very same thing, but with many of those faces no longer in those positions. Racine County Emergency Management Coordinator David Mack, who was there in 1998, says he expects a few changes in how the training courses and exercises will be taught. For one thing, he says, it's going to be a two-phase disaster exercise coming up at the end of the week. Immediate response, then it's the recovery aspect.
You know, we usually get the response down tight, but it's that recovery piece that oftentimes gets overlooked because you run out of time. So we want to look at, okay, police and fire have gone home. Now we're left with a mess. How do we clean it up? How long is it going to take? And what are the steps that we're going to have to take for that?
He notes that one big change this time around from the trip back in 1998, technology. He's hoping this training will stimulate discussion among the agencies that have not seen themselves as having a role in a real emergency. The 71 people in Emmitsburg this week include police and fire personnel, health and human services, public works, communications, government services, school district officials, business leaders, a reporter's there, a medical examiner, utility representative, just to mention a few. Kenosha County's newly installed emergency management director, Horace Staples, is also with the Racine Group. Mac, by the way, is one of four that is in Emmitsburg this week. They made the same trip 19 years ago. Others on that group include Burlington's mayor, Jeannie Hefty, and Keith Haas with Racine's water wastewater utility. Well, on the heels of Kenosha County Sheriff David Beth holding a press briefing about the placement of sexual offenders, sexual predators from other counties at a town of Wheatland location, City of Kenosha's Public Safety and Welfare Committee agenda this evening includes an ordinance amendment from Mayor John Antaramian on sexual offender residency restrictions. Documentation with that proposal changes the distance of a placement site to a prohibited location from 2,000 feet down to 1,000 feet, and the offender being placed would have to have been living in the city at the time of the offense. Property owners would be prohibited from renting to certain offenders and predators with the knowledge that the individual is not allowed by city rule. That meeting is coming up at 5 p.m., room 204 of Kenosha's Municipal Building. A Kenosha County Board Committee is expected to have a discussion later on today about the issue of homelessness. That item's on the agenda for the Human Services Board coming a little over a week after a low barrier shelter called First Step closed its doors under city pressure. That meeting is at 4 p.m. at the Kenosha County Job Center building on South Sheridan Road. Meanwhile, work continues at the site of the new Shalom Center homeless facility on 39th Avenue. Plans to open that in the coming months. Central Racine County Health Department now comprises more than a dozen communities, 14 all total, which is mainly west of the interstate. The director is Margaret Gessner. She's been providing highlights on the annual report for 2016 to the municipalities. She stopped in Burlington last week.
The highlights from 2016 included continued integration of the 14 communities into the one health department, doing some work across programming with schools and food safety, childhood safety. We developed a strategic plan in 2016, and all the municipalities updated their ordinances so that we match state statute with some changes. So thank you for doing that in 2016.
She noted 375 pounds of unwanted or outdated medications recently collected, but for which funding's not going to be available down the road because most law enforcement agencies now have drop boxes that you can take them to anytime.
Even though those one-day events are great, one time a year isn't enough. And so we're really pushing all the 13 drop sites in the county. And so we're really promoting those so that people get rid of drugs they didn't want on a regular basis rather than storing them and then getting rid of them on a one-time basis.
36% of Central Racine County Health Department budget, that's from the levy, the rest coming out of grants, service, and fees. And Guaranty Bank customers now with First Citizens Bank to begin this new week after federal regulators shut down all the Guaranty locations last Friday. 10 Guaranty Bank sites were to reopen in Wisconsin, but the branch locations inside grocery stores closed. Customers indicated the fears about their money eased over the weekend with announcements about their accounts. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation says for most customers, the only thing that's changed is the name of their bank. You might remember in the fall of 2009, Racine's famed Bank of Elmwood was taken over by federal regulators and then reopened as Tri-City Bank. Gateway Technical College and Carthage College already have a pretty good professional working relationship when it comes to helping students. That's going to be strengthened to another level today. What's being described as a sweeping transfer agreement is expected to be unveiled late this morning. Eligible Gateway graduates will soon be able to transfer into more than 40 Carthage undergraduate degree programs. Both Gateway President Brian Albrecht and Carthage President Gregory Woodward are expected to speak about it during a presentation at Gateway. A graduating senior at Carthage has some advice for high schoolers heading to college this fall who might not be completely sold on their planned academic and career paths.
Take your time, do your research, and figure it out. Figure out exactly what it is you want to do with your life.
That is 27-year-old Spencer Alexander. Talk with our partners at Gateway Public Radio after posting a funding website plea for money to cover the remaining $2,500 cost of his four-year degree in psychology. He's still glad to have got them to four-year liberal arts education under his belt. Carthage, though, said to be threatening to withhold his diploma until Alexander comes up with the money, which is a standard operating procedure for most schools. He manages a Racine restaurant and bar. He'll soon be gaining full-time status there. He and a partner also operate a thriving bar trivia business. Even with a heavy debt load, Alexander says he and his girlfriend, who's also a Carthage grad, they plan to get married next year. Village of Summers Plan Commission meeting tonight. The agenda includes a proposed concrete crushing operation by Racine's A.W. Oaks at the corner of Kenosha County Highways L and EA. Company would need a zoning change for the temporary crushing of the concrete to go along with the construction of a 10,000-square-foot office building and a 24,000-square-foot maintenance facility. Also on the agenda tonight, right off the bat, a public hearing on a proposed comprehensive plan amendment and a rezoning request by the Islamic Society of Southeast Wisconsin for a facility in the Village of Summers. Cities, towns, and villages have this ongoing battle against retail giants like Menards and Walgreens and Target and Meijer, as well as the State Chamber of Commerce, over property assessments. The businesses challenging the figures that are given, oftentimes settling for a lesser amount. Speaking with our partners at Gateway Public Radio, Kenosha Mayor John Antaramian said that if this keeps up, property tax bills for the homeowners left to pick up the slack are going to spike, so he's urging residents to contact their state legislators about a spending bill that would close what is known as the dark store loophole.
The only way that you're going to get this going is that people need to start calling their legislators and making sure that everyone understands.
Passage of the dark store bill, not a sure thing, according to Andramian. Legislation would prevent retailers from lowering their property tax bills by comparing stores that are striving to big box properties that are sitting empty. And he was the last Democrat to lose to Paul Ryan in the 1st Congressional District, and he says he is not going to seek a rematch next year. That is in a news release issued Sunday by Ryan Solon, who cites health reasons, though nothing specific. Solon says he's urging nationally known political commentator David Yankovich to seek the nomination instead. In the release, Solon writes, "Of the many people who appear to be exploring primary campaigns, I believe David Yankovich is the only one who could win against Paul Ryan." To do so, Yankovich would have to move into southeast Wisconsin soon to qualify as a candidate. A former spokesman for Solon says that's going to happen. WRJN.com. That is our webpage. That's where we keep our newscasts in the local news section. Also, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.